you have your Bibles, would you take them, please? And if you're used to kind of just kind of sitting there and letting me read, if you have one, I really want you to look at it tonight. We're going to look at several passages. We'll preach a little bit. We'll teach a little bit, show you a few pictures, and then eat some potatoes. All right? So here we go. And I've got all kind of notes here, and I'll just use this. And so I hope you will turn in Scripture, maybe even take some notes, jot some things down. It's been a while since I've touched on this subject, and I think it'll be good for all of us. And so here we are, Joshua chapter number 3, and we're not going to do any review. The children of Israel are now headed across into the promised land, Canaan. It's a symbol of selling out to God, God's blessings, mostly victory, and that's what we want. And notice what it says, though, Joshua chapter 3, verse 1, and Joshua rose early. He must not have been a teenager on Labor Day, I don't know any Baptist that's getting up early tomorrow, I don't think. But he said Joshua rose early in the morning. And they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, you remember that small piece of furniture covered with gold, the cherubims on top, had the Ten Commandments inside, Aaron's rod that budded, and a pot of manna. It says, when you see that, and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. So first thought is follow God's lead. So they're at the river, and I'm sure they thought, well, there's Jericho, man, it's time to go, but not until God said. And so sometimes it's easy to get ahead of God. Sometimes on decisions, sometimes on purchases, sometimes on relationships. But God says, you wait until that ark starts moving, and if you'll study it, it was like a mile out in front. So those guys carried it about a mile before the group started moving. You say, how come? It was a million people. So it had to be far enough in way ahead so they could all see it and see how to follow it. So it was a logistical thing. So one, don't follow God's lead. Number two, he keeps going. Verse 4, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Second lesson, be careful when traveling to unfamiliar territory. And so he's saying, now, you know, you need to follow because you've never gone this way before. You've never crossed into Canaan. You've never been on this road, so you're going to have to follow closely. Now, that relates to us because we all, as we travel through life, have unfamiliar territory. If you're just going into junior high school, you've never been there before. And so it's new territory, just going into high school, just starting college, going in the military, going to trade school, just getting married, just having children, whatever it is, a brand new Christian, you've never traveled this way. And so it's brand new territory. You can't just go out on your own. You need to follow someone who knows where they're going. And then we see this, and here's what we'll spend the time on tonight, verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So here he is. They've just come out of the country of Egypt, and now they've come out of the wilderness. They've been there 40 years. Now he says, now before you cross over and give it all to the Lord, sanctify yourself. Now what does that word mean? It means to separate yourself from one thing and attach to something that's better. So you're separating from something from Egypt, the Egyptian lifestyle, and now you're attaching to something that's holy and consecrated that God wants us to do. So notice that was his thought there, sanctify, separate. The camp song, tell me what side are you leaning on? I'm leaning on the Lord's side. Now with that in mind, turn over to Genesis 1 just for a second. Genesis chapter 1 just for a second. We're going to turn a little bit. This is a whole concept, this thing of sanctify. Some people would call it separate. separate from the world. It's the doctrine of Christian separation. We're not talking about marriage. But notice he says in Genesis chapter number 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form. Notice how this compares to salvation. It was void. That means empty. When God first found us, we were void. We were empty of joy, empty of purpose. We had no reason for existence. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. That was our lifestyle. We were children of darkness. And it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit began working on our hearts, convicting us of our sin. And then it says, verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And of course, that's God's word, that's salvation. Now we're children of light. We were children of darkness. God said, let there be light. So a wonderful symbol of being saved right here. In just the first verses of Genesis, we were dark. Now we're in the light. And then notice in verse 4, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So he said, here's how it works. We're in darkness, we get saved, now we're children of light, we need to follow the word of God. It is the light, it's a light into our path. And then he says, and I'm going to divide darkness from light. There's a separation there. So after we get saved, sooner or later, we've got to make a decision to separate from the world, to separate from the past, from the dark side. Darth Vader. Oh, okay. Anyway, Luke. I'm sorry. It's interesting. If you're married right now, if you're presently married, I guarantee you, once you said, I do, you separated from all the old flames. I guarantee you, you didn't move into that apartment or that house and say, can I still put up all the girlfriend's pictures? I mean, are you insecure? What's the problem? Can I wear this jewelry my old boyfriend gave me and keep his picture up? Oh, yeah, for darts. Yeah, we'll burn it. We'll make a little statue of him, put little needles in him or something. And then let's look over here if you want to turn to it just quickly. But it's 2 Corinthians. I'll read it quickly. 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking to this church who's been saved out of a lot of sin, and they had a lot of baggage. 2 Corinthians 6:17, notice what he says. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. So God is not saying separation is about rules. It's not if you obey these rules, you're a good Christian. He says, I want you to come out from among them. What is that? The old life, the world, and be ye separate. And God says, here's what I'll give you for that. I'll make you sons and daughters. We'll have a special relationship that you can never have when you're over there. By the way, if you're married, you have a lot better relationship with your mate. If you take all the old pictures down and all the old reminders down, you'll have a better relationship. So God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And then in James chapter 4, just to show us right after Hebrews how important this is to God, it's so much like a marriage. He said, we are the bride of Christ. He's the groom. We're the bride, and we're to be faithful. But in James 4:4, and I'm just setting the stage here, 4:4, he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, very hard language, know ye not that the friendship with the world is enmity or enemy with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, somehow in our society today, somehow we feel like in modern Christianity is we can be a friend of the world and not let go, and still be a good friend of God and not let go. And we can just enjoy the best of both worlds. And God says, you're unfaithful to me. God says, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. And we'll say more about that in just a moment. In the book of Hebrews, if you're taking notes, in chapter number 10, Paul is talking to this church, and he says, I know. He said, guess who we are? We're gazing stocks. That's a strange name. Has anyone ever called you that lately? You gazing stock, you. Man, that's pretty bad. What's it mean? Paul said, I know. People just glare at you, don't they? They gaze at you. They're looking at you. They're laughing at you. They're mocking you for your Christianity. Quickly, little Bible study here. The theme of the book of Exodus is this. The word difference is used a lot. God says that I may put a difference between you and the Egyptians. And you'll see in the book of Exodus, God told the Jews how to dress. He even told the men they had to have a blue ribbon around the robe to represent heaven and God, and that we're God's people. They were circumcised. They had certain foods that they could eat and certain foods that they weren't supposed to eat. They had certain holidays, and they had the Passover and all these other things. And God says, I want people to be able to look at you, watch you, even from a distance, and know, oh, that's one of God's people. Amen. Redemption makes a difference. But to a worldly Christian, they don't want to be different. They want to fit in. They don't want the laughter. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible compares Jesus' crucifixion to the lepers that were told to go outside of the camp. If you've ever studied the book of Leviticus, the priests were much like doctors. If someone had all this white hair, they thought you probably had leprosy. Maybe I've got leprosy. Maybe I'm not getting older. But they'd come to the priest and they'd examine the skin and the hair and see if it had sores, if it multiplied, if it grew. And if not, they'd quarantine them. A little bit different than America and Dr. Fauci. We had quarantined the whole nation, but they just quarantined the people who they thought had leprosy. And so they'd bring them to a tent 7 days and they'd check it out. And they had to be outside the camp. So the people that definitely had leprosy, they couldn't live in the city because it'd be contagious. They'd live outside the camp because it was contagious. It was where the outcasts stayed. If you ever had to move outside the camp, it meant that you were cutting off all relationships in the city because you were dying and no one wanted anything to do with you. The Bible says when Jesus got crucified, it was outside the gate of Jerusalem, outside the camp. And we're commanded in Hebrews, it says, go ye outside the camp, here's the key words, with him. Christianity has never been popular. It has never been on the top list of respected people. We may never be on the top 100 respected people in America. In the Bible days, they crucified the people, they stoned them, they burned them at the stake, they threw them to the lions. They were outside the camp. We see Simon Peter. Jesus teaches him 3.5 years, and he's at a fire. And a little girl says, aren't you one of his disciples? Nope, never met him. He didn't want to be associated with Jesus because there was a stigma about it. Are you one of those Christians? Are you one of those saved people? Who are you talking to? Not me. It's something about us. It's a pride about us that we want to be accepted with the world. And so, just trying to give you this whole thought here. We want both the approval of man and the approval of God. The Bible says the Pharisees were not baptized because they loved the praise of man more than the praise of God. Let me act this out real quick. Give me a volunteer. Okay, Matthew, come on up. And let me see here. Levi, can you come on up too? All right, just for a second. Appreciate these guys. So here we are. We've done this before, but just want to show it to you. So here's my Bible. Don't drop it. Got all my notes in here. Got all that money. 20 pesos. Been the guy's pastor for all these years. 20 pesos. When he dies, I wonder what kind of casket we're going to put him in. Oh, a shoebox. Oh, okay. No, I'm kidding. So here we are. Okay, so he's got the Bible. Here it is. Okay, kind of face the people here. Okay, Matthew will be the world. Levi will be Christianity, all right? Now look, there's always been separation. We're to have a distance between us and the world system. Dress like the world, act like the world, listen to what the world listens to, lifestyle of the world, priorities of the world. Here's what happens. Oh, okay, scoot over here further. I'm sorry. Okay, so here's the world over here. The world, have you noticed, has gotten worse? Okay, so over here, you can't even be a school teacher jogging down the street without being kidnapped. You can't go to school without being shot. It's just crime is up, weirdness is up, demonic things are up. So the world has gotten worse. So here's what the church has done, Christianity. Still keeping the same distance. Now the world gets worse. And they're accepting things they never would have accepted before. Now guess what? Now Christianity changes. And so now it's still a difference. They're different. But now the church and Christians are where the world was 50 years ago. And how it needs to be is as the world gets worse, we get more and more separated. And pretty soon it's going to be, you're one of those weirdos. Yep, we're one of them weirdos. Someone said we ought to be so filled with the Holy Ghost when a mosquito bites us, it flies off singing, "There's power in the blood." So thank you very much. Thank you for helping me. All right, I appreciate that so much. So let me just show you just, and if this offends you, I don't think it'll offend you. Most of you probably, anyway, you know more about this than I do. But I want to just highlight just and try to, maybe just show you a couple word pictures and then kind of preach on this just for a little bit. Our world has come a long way, so just want to show a few clips. Are we ready for that first one? Ready to go? This was 1967. Just on the platform. There we go. Excuse me, 1963. Is that going to work? Anybody remember this? The Ed Sullivan Show? The Ed Sullivan Show. Okay, stop right there. Can you stop it right there, Paul? Okay, can you stop it right there? No, no, not turn it off, but just freeze it. Can we do that? Jonathan, can we just freeze the picture on there? Okay, maybe not. Now, did you see? Oh, okay, hang on just a sec. They were in suits. That on ties. 1963. They had Pastor Ray haircuts. They didn't have long hair. They would have passed in looks as a Bible college singing group. The next one is the 1980s, a Christian group. We have sung some of their songs through the years. Okay, the Gaithers. Because he lives. We sing that song. Guess who wrote it? Huh? Maybe you'd have gone and seen these people years ago. That was 1980. Here they are in 2007. Same group. The vocal band. Heaven's getting ready for an end it all celebration. Christian words. There we go. Pause right there. A little bit of change. We've kind of lost some ground. Christian concert next. By the way, in the Bible days, they never sold tickets to come hear a gospel singer. No church ever sold tickets to come hear a sermon. We'll never have that, and they shouldn't do it either. If God's given them Holy Ghost talent, they ought to use it for the Lord, not charge to come hear how good they are. That's my thought. Tell them I said it. Christian group. You're my only home. Godly, worldly. What's that kind of remind you of? Where's that send you back to thought-wise? Okay, right. So, Christian concert. Well, Pastor, you know, as long as they're trying to serve the Lord. You know, I almost brought in some non-alcoholic beer tonight. I mean, it's not real beer, but it tastes like it. Looks like it. But I was afraid if I held it in my hand, someone would take a picture and it'd be posted everywhere, you know. I was going to have Brother Reyes hold it. It looked more natural. Next. Here it is. At the Dove Awards.
To remain relevant, gospel music has often changed with the times. We need to embrace not only what speaks to us, but what captivates others. And that's just amazing. The brothers in Christ taking this stage opened doors for the word to go forth. They used hip-hop to spread the gospel and lead worshipers in praise.
So, is it right to do wrong to get a crowd? You know, if we wanted to, we could have had a rock concert here tonight, pack the building, pack the stadium. It's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. You never see Jesus trying to attract the crowds. You see Jesus raising the dead, and that kind of attracted the crowd. And someone got saved, and that attracted the crowd. We see here, next, we see the quote, mega church, and you'll see part of their church service here. That's church. 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 It's fun. Exciting. Talented. We've got that kind of stuff going on within driving distance of here. It's an event. It's a show. But God ain't showing up. Well, and I'm not judging their motive. Some of these people may really love the Lord, but I'm just saying, God says, it's got to be done my way. Conviction has to take place before anyone gets saved. When you walked right out of a bar, and now you're walking into a church that reminds you of a bar, there's not much conviction. It's not, I need what you have. No, it's, you have what I have. It's just a show. Let's keep going. Here's another one here. Church, a church, got all the videos in the back, got the smoke, got the dancing, the world's married to the church. Okay, that's good right there. And then we have, that's a very, very big, quote, church. Here's another one. This is a popular secular band, Green Day, and so we'll play just a little of this. See the fire. That's fine right there. Notice it's kind of interesting. Fire during a concert. Maybe it's the one they're singing for likes fire. Then we have a Christian band named Skillet. I like food in a skillet. So here it is. Probably it's your favorite band. I don't know. Christian band looks just like the other one. It's rain. Look, a machine gun in the song. I guess he needs a machine gun to sing. Okay, hang on. Hang on. Hang on. Whoop, whoop. Justin, stop enjoying it, man. We're just showing samples. We don't want the whole album. Justin was standing on the chair, cage dancing. Did you see the joy of the Lord on his face? Anger. Had to be loud. The heavy metal sound. It's raining. Looks just like the world. The Bible says in Ezekiel 22:26, her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. Here was a preacher in 1960, just a picture. Okay. Well, no, not him. Hang on. Back up one. Can we back up one? I'm sorry to mess that up. Did that mess it up? Okay, here it comes. Okay, we're going to back it up one. Here it is. This is a mega church. Here it is. And so that's the pastor. Let me just encourage you. If I ever die, I want you to dress up for my funeral. The pastor is not about clothes. Clothes show respect. Now, if this is all he has, if his clothes are all falling apart, I understand. But that's the pastor on the right, and know who he's interviewing in his church? Justin Bieber. That's the special guest. That's the church Justin goes to. And he has a reserved seat so people won't bother him. VIP seating. Okay, next picture. Here's Billy Graham preaching with the Word of God in his hand, a Bible. Next picture. One of the modern church. Oh, okay, here. This is something called the Grammys. Some of you have seen these. I don't recognize these people. People who are artists that are recognized by the world. The girl on the far right is one of the most popular singers, especially with teenagers and young adults. Her name is pronounced Billie Eilish. Her 2019 hit song was All Good Girls Go to Hell. It's the world. That's who the world's listening to. Now they have something so Christian entertainers can also be recognized and honored. It's called the Dove Awards. Notice that picture. Doesn't look a lot different. My awards, because I'm so talented. We see a stadium here. Church is not just an event. It's not just something we go to be entertained. What's church? What church has the loudest music? What church has the biggest band? What church has the biggest dance team? We go to church for God to speak to us. And then I think we have one last picture here somewhere, and I don't know what it is. Okay? This is a picture of a church within driving distance. That's a church service. It resembles a rock concert. All the lighting, all the smoke, all the loud music. I don't know how many times I've met people out soul winning and they've said, we can't stand that music at that church. We're not going. Because they brought in the bands to attract the youth. And then here's a church choir somewhere. It looks kind of dull compared to the rest of it, doesn't it? Conservative. Christ glorifying. Thank you so much. Great job, men in the back. Appreciate it. Let's get our lights back on. Okay, turn on the smoke machine. Let's get the hydraulics and the pulpit going. Take your Bibles. Let's look at just several passages quickly. I want to teach a little bit, then we'll preach a little bit. And notice over here, please, in Psalms 40. I want you to see this, Psalms chapter number 40. And we'll get going here. We'll get moving, so hang on. I know what time it is. 56 times the word musician is mentioned in the Bible. 110 times sing, song, sang is mentioned in Scripture. The book of Psalms, the oldest book in the Bible. So, Pastor, how did we get on this subject? Here it is. He told Joshua, he said, sanctify yourself. So here it is. One of the greatest important things or areas we've got to sanctify ourselves in is the area of music. We will never have great victory in our life if we do not get our music right, our kids' music right, keep our music in the church right, what we listen to, what we approve of. We've got to be so careful. When the music goes, the church goes. I don't know how many times. We're selling the buses. Bus ministry's over. We're not going to do the door-to-door anymore. It all hangs together. Salvation, soul winning, separation. It just all goes together. And so notice here, God's purpose for music. Notice Psalms 40. David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. You remember when you weren't saved? It was a horrible pit. Out of the miry clay, what did he do? He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. What did he do in my heart? He has put a new song in my mouth. What was the old song? The old song was all about me. The new song is all about him. The old song was focus on me. The new song is let's focus on him. And he says, and many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Singing is to let Saved people rejoice. Unsaved people to say, you have got something I don't have. You have got something. What is it? What is that smile on your face? What is that joy? What is that? The song comes when we get saved. No song, no salvation. And then skip over to 126, if you will. 126 of Psalms. I'm going to hurry. I'm trying my best. As long as you keep smiling, we're good. So Psalms 126, and notice what he says in verse number 1. Notice what he says. It's a captivity song. Psalm 126, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Notice what he says. Our tongue will be filled with singing. That's what happens. We have all throughout Scripture, Moses' song, they sang when they were delivered from Egypt. Mary's song, she sang when she found out she had the Christ child. Deborah sang after they had victory with Barak. Songs permeate the Word of God. And then we see in Ephesians for a moment, and again, we're just setting the foundation, and we'll hurry up and give you the points, but Galatians, Ephesians, chapter number 5, and notice what it says, looking down into verse number 18. And he's talking about being filled with God's Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What will that look like? Speaking to yourselves in psalms. That means words out of the book of Psalms. And it says, and hymns. So like out of the hymn book, songs that someone wrote, not all God's words, but good Christian lyrics. And then he says, and spiritual songs. So it's not all going to be hymns. It's not all going to be songs that are just totally Bible verses. Some will be choruses as long as it's, and sing as to the Lord. That's what he says, singing in your hearts to the Lord. And that's what God wants us to do. Holy Spirit-filled people will sing to the Lord. He loves that. Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. What does our singing do? It teaches others. You know, you'll find this. You can try your best to memorize Scripture. Sometimes it's hard to remember Scriptures. You memorize a song, you'll be singing it all day. Why is music so powerful? It's easier to remember the words. How many of you, maybe you got saved later in life and you go to a restaurant and you know what happens? All the oldies and goodies and those old worldly songs you used to like, guess what's playing now? It's playing in a restaurant. Pretty soon it's... And now you're dancing, you're on top of the table. And, hey, what happened? And now you're moving your mouth. You remember every single word. See, that's the sad thing about tiptoeing into the world. All those worldly words get in your mind. And when you hear those songs, it brings you back to that mood. My dad used to tell me, he says, now I know why I got in so many fights in bars. He said the music was so depressing, it put me in that mood. I said, well, Dad, good. I won't bring you to the bars anymore. That's what I told him. Let's turn one other passage, please, and we'll give you the points quickly. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter number 32. Exodus 32, as you're finding that, listen to this quote out of a magazine. 100% rock, 100% true. Do not give up, just rock along. It is a powerful new way to give your kids the music they want with the message they need. A great combination to get you back on the same ground. Combine the music of the time with the timeless message of Jesus. Their music, their language, his message. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. But notice here in Exodus 32, so important. God gives us a principle about music here. I want to share this, please. Exodus 32, you've been great tonight, and hope we're going to open up some understanding here. Notice, Moses is on the mountain. He's receiving the Ten Commandments with Joshua. Look down in verse 17. Exodus 32 and verse number 17. And when Joshua heard, notice what he called the music. When he heard the noise, I've got that word underlined. He said, it sounds like noise. Of the people as they, here's the second word, shouted. He said unto Moses, there is a noise of, third word, war in the camp. And he said, is it not the voice of them that shout for mastery? So somehow Moses is on top of the mountain. You know the story. He's gone 40 days. It doesn't take long to backslide. Doesn't take long to get away from the church of God, the man of God, the word of God. And pretty soon you are way out there. But Joshua, who takes over the nation, says, that's not music. He said, I'm hearing noise. It's like people are screaming. They're shouting. They're fighting. It's a war. It just kind of sounds like the modern music today, doesn't it? Verse 19, notice, all sin hangs together like a bunch of grapes. You never see, I've never met anyone in my life, the only thing they ever did in their whole life was drink. The only thing they ever did was crack cocaine. That's the only drug they ever tried. No, sin hangs in grapes, like bunches of grapes. Notice, so this music's going. It says in verse 19, it came to pass as soon as he came nigh into the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. Oh. So the music did not just speak to their spirit, it spoke to their body. So they had to move around while they performed it. They had to move around while they heard it. And pretty soon, everyone is moving around. Gospel music ought to stir our spirit, not just our toes and our body. Who's ever been to a ball game and they maybe had the seventh inning stretch and they played that famous song? They always play it. We will, we will. And man, you see people jumping up. You see people. So when the music goes on, everyone dances. When the music goes off, you stop. The world tells us what to do. And so now they're dancing. So, Pastor, what in the world is wrong with dancing? Nothing's wrong with dancing. If you dance with someone you're married to in the privacy of your home, have a great time. Put on a little gospel music. If you're saved and you know it, dance around. If you're saved and you know it, dance around. If you're saved and you... Hey, I'm for it. Dance with your mate all you want to. But when you're putting your hands on someone that's not your mate... Three times they had dancing in the Bible. Once, they were dancing around the golden calf. They'd taken off their clothing. So the music, the sound, the noise, the war, now they're dancing, now they're removing clothing. It's just kind of all hanging together. Second time someone danced, Herodias danced for the king, and they chopped off John the Baptist's head. Third time someone danced, it was David, but he was jumping up and down praising God because the ark was returning. And so, guess what Moses said? Verse 26, here it is. Then Moses stood on the gate of the camp, in the gate of the camp, and said, who was on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. He drew the line in the dirt, so to speak, and he said, all right, sanctify yourself. You with the world or you with God? All right, make a decision. So he's telling them about their music. They needed to sanctify themselves. Anybody remember in Daniel 3 when Daniel... Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the king made the big idol. You remember the story. I'm not going to read it. Daniel 3. He said, now when the trumpet and the dulcimer and all these musical instruments play, bow down. Music is a form of worship. Where it's either making us worship more toward God or making us worship more toward the devil. It is worship. Did you see those people? It was a secular concert, and they were doing that. They weren't praising God, Kathleen. They were praising a little g God. Not the real God, but they were praising a God. When they're singing about burning in hell, and the devil's coming after you, and the devil's going to burn with you. Just, who were they worshiping? I'm not saying every non-gospel song is a devil worship song. I'm not saying that. But it shows what direction we're worshiping. You say, well, Pastor, how can you tell if music's good or bad? What are the tests? What can you do? Several questions to ask yourself. Here we are, right here. You say, Pastor, this is cream of the crop. We're here on a Sunday night. A lot of people are out of town, but people are listening online. Here's Ephesians 5, verse 10, if you're jotting down notes. It says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So used to it was like this. A teenager would come to the pastor, hey, what's wrong with my music? Now, notice the phrase, what's wrong with my music? See, there's a problem in the phrase. Why would we be upset when someone is challenging our music and we don't get upset over abortion or people not being saved or the direction our nation's going? So here's what it's supposed to be. I'm not supposed to prove to you what's wrong with the music you may listen to. You're supposed to be able to prove to God what's right with the music you're allowing and listening to. You ought to be able to take the Bible and say, here's why the music I choose to hear and fill my mind with is right and approved by God. You say, well, why is music so powerful? Muse. The word means think. David said, while I was musing, the fire burned. Philippians, Paul said, whatsoever things are true, just, holy, think on these things. What we think is who we are. We think sensuous thoughts, we're sensual. We think depressing thoughts, we'll be depressed. We think sexual thoughts, we'll be sexual, and so forth. So here's the questions to ask just real quickly. Is it spiritual or physical? What does that type music make me want to do? And I want to say this, might make two people mad, who knows? Disney was not saved. Read his biography, Walt Disney was not saved. Maybe he got saved in the last day of his life, I hope he did, but I'm saying, Walt Disney did not make all the cartoons with all the music and now all their modern music to help procreate Christianity. Sometimes we'll say, turn that rock music off. And then Disney sings it all day long on our computers and our cartoons. And it's just, and it's the same type music. Okay, now look, Tinkerbell's going to be mad about this. Is it spiritual or is it physical? Number two, is it celebratory? That's a big word. Luke 15, the prodigal son is coming home. He says, what's that music? They were celebrating. Hey, your brother's come home. He heard the music. That's why I am so happy. We've got music playing in our parking lot all the time. Post office worker comes in. He's hearing some gospel music. Neighbors are jogging by. They're hearing some. It doesn't pour into their yards. It's not disrespectful. But there's power in music. Number three, is it sensuous? That's how you judge music. What you're going to listen to, what you ought to let your family listen to, is it sensuous? What's that mean? Sensual music is usually breathy music. If you've ever watched soap operas, God forgive you men if you've ever watched soap operas. Oh. But those microphones somehow are placed like 2 inches from their mouth. It's John. Oh. Margaret. It's like the person's an inch away from you. Sometimes people sing that way. What a difference you've made in my life. Now, thank the Lord, we've never had to correct people here. I've been at churches where they've been watching all these secular people, so now all the church specials try to be just like them. Sensual. Don't swallow the microphone. Don't blur the words. Whoa. Hit the note and get off of it. That's what we're saying. Does it have a rock beat? You study music, usually. Good music emphasizes the first note. The Star Spangled Banner, it's in 3-4. So it's, oh, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Amazing grace. How 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. It emphasizes the first beat. Rock music's opposite. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. It goes from emotional and spiritual to physical. You can put little kids in front of a cartoon. If rock music's playing, pretty soon they're dancing. I mean, they're just mesmerized. Pastor, you're taking all of our fun away. And I'm trying to make it so you have some victory in your home. Next, is it self or God? Does the song major on the performer, or does it major on God? Next, what is its slant? Now, for those of you that research songs, let me just say this. Oh, Little Town of Bethlehem, written like 500 years ago, whenever, oh, Little Town of, is written by a Catholic priest. Okay, but I like the words. Most people don't know he wrote it. I've never met the guy. That song that Amanda Evans sings, Mary, did you know that your baby boy? I love that song, written by Mark Lowry. You say, well, who's that? Well, I knew him when he sang with Johnny Pope. Johnny Pope was an evangelist. He was the singer. I knew him. Well, now he's a Christian comedian. I'm not against him. But someone may say, oh, y'all shouldn't be singing that. Mark Lowry wrote that. We started out pretty good. What do you do with Elvis Sings Gospel? Well, we can't sing Amazing Grace. Elvis sang that one time. Can't sing How Great Thou Art. Elvis sang that time. And Dolly Parton sang that. Man, you're not going to have any songs. So sometimes you're going to have to look at the slant. Does the whole world know some pervert wrote this song? I mean, is that the predominant theme? He says, sanctify yourself. Next, are they spiritual words? Are we learning something about God's character, his greatness, his goodness, salvation? Are we learning, is it just fluff? Father Abraham had many sons, many sons. What in the world has that got to do with me? I don't even know Abraham. The next, I like this new word, selection. Is it a song that can be taken either way? There was a fellow by the name of B.J. Thomas years ago, ancient if you know his name. B.J. Thomas, raindrops keep falling. Anyway, but B.J. Thomas, he got saved, and he said, I don't want to run off the worldly people, and I don't want to run off the Christian people, so he wrote this song, What a Difference You've Made in My Life. What a difference you've made in my life. You are my sunshine day and night. Well, who's he talking about? Who's you? Is it his girlfriend? Is it his wife? Is it God? Well, let's just kind of leave it so we don't offend anybody. I've done a lot of funerals where they sang that song, You Are the Wind Beneath My Wings. Did I ever tell you you're my hero? Then she goes way up there and hits those high notes and glasses start shattering. Did I ever tell you you're... So that could go either way. Are you talking about the Lord or are you talking about a friend? We want our gospel songs so if someone comes in, doesn't know anything, they know it's about Jesus. It's about God. It's about the Bible. When I was a teenager, we didn't have any teaching or preaching on any of this. I think all this kind of caught pastors off guard, and it, you know, they didn't say much about it. I remember playing drums in the high school band, 10th and 11th grade, and guess what songs we played at halftime? All the popular rock songs. Well, they were kind of gospel. Stripper. (laughs) 25 or 6 to 4. I think that adds up to like 33 or something like that, whatever that is. But it was all these popular songs. And I'm thinking, man, why am I not having a lot of victory? That's what we're thinking about. Godly music helps us. I got to find a landing spot. Quickly, it helps us determine the will of God. You fill your mind with scriptural gospel music, it'll help you make good decisions. They said, Elisha, what should we do? He says, bring me the minstrel. Get a musician in here. Get someone playing this music, and it'll be clear what I'm supposed to say. Number two, it stops depression. You're going through some lulls and some valleys and depressing thoughts. Get that gospel music on. Have it playing all the time. When King Saul was depressed, he called for David. David played that harp. The evil spirit, not a demon, but the evil spirit of depression left him, and he was refreshed. You heard about that lady. She wasn't very pretty, but she could sing great. The guy married her for her voice. First day after their first morning of their honeymoon, he rolled over in bed and looked at her and said, sing quick. Let me encourage you right now. You're struggling in any area of your life. Sing quick. Get you a hymn book. Get your gospel music out. And more important than you listening to gospel music is you singing it. God never commands us, listen to gospel music. Never commands that. He said, sing unto me. And I love this. In Hebrews 2, you can look it up. It says, and Jesus is in the church singing. So guess who was here tonight singing when we sang? Jesus. So when you sing, you're part of a duet. It's a pretty good duet. What does it do? He says, is any merry? Let him sing. If you're happy, sing. Let me give you these verses quickly. Sing unto the Lord. It says Psalm 32:7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. 69:30, I will praise the name of the Lord with a song. 119:54, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. 1 Chronicles 16:9, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Lamentations 3:63, behold, they're sitting down, they're rising up. I am their music. God is saying, I'm the one they're singing about. He loves it. And I want to remind you, it will be one of the activities up in heaven. Twice Scripture says, and they sang a new song. What are we going to do up in heaven, Pastor? One thing we'll do, we'll be singing. We'll all be on key, too. It won't be. We'll all have perfect pitch. I don't know. Who's ever sat by someone in church couldn't carry a tune? Not tonight, but at some time. Please don't point, but at some time it's like unbelievable. I mean, it's sad when your hair's kind of changing colors just during the song service. What will singing do for you? It'll give you strength. The Lord is my strength and song. What will it do? It'll help you pray better. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. It'll increase your courage. Yea, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the day and the night. His song shall be with me. I love the battle in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. God says, you're going to go into battle. He said, here's what I want you to do. No weapons. Just go into battle and sing. And when Israel sang, God sent ambushments against the enemy. It gave them the victory. We have a promise from God. You'll have victory in your life if you'll get the music right. I'll be transparent, and we're finished. So when I was in junior high school, my brother started a band. He was very musically inclined. He ended up being the drum major at Estruma High School. He was the guy that wore that real tall hat, had the sword, blew the whistle, led the halftime show. He brought home a French horn, a tuba. He brought home a trumpet. He brought home these wind instruments, brought home drums. We had a set of drums in our house. He could play several different instruments. We had a piano. He was on tour when he was 16 in Europe with a group. He ended up starting a, quote, Christian rock band. It was called Revolution. They cut three albums. And back then, that was pretty cool. They bought a bus, started touring the South. I was around that all the time. But those bands were always married to the world. I remember after a football game, high school football game, they used a gymnasium, and my brother's band came and played. They played the top 10 rock songs, and then they played gospel rock. I saw all these unsaved friends of mine there, but there was no conviction. It was just a fun place to go to hear a band play some popular music. I struggled with it. It was in our home. My brother knew all the famous groups, not personally. But that was all over our house. And I can say I never had great victory until I sanctified. I said no more. I'll end with this. He said, well, Pastor, you know, Christian rock. Okay, how about this? Christian whiskey. Christian adultery. They can't be married together. Here's excuses sometimes we give. I'm sure I gave them. You ready? And here was my biggest one. But I like it. I like beating up my brother. Okay, well, as long as you like it, it's okay. I like robbing banks. I like stealing. It has no argument at all. It's, what does the word say? We have to stop living by feelings. Number two, we need to discard and replace. And it's different. In my day, they had no earphones. They didn't have those little white things, black things, whatever those things are on the ears. We had these LP, you know, the little thing and the little needle. So whatever we were listening to, our parents knew. And I'll gladly say this too. And our whole neighborhood knew. You remember? You were cool if you let the whole neighborhood hear your music. But I had to come to a place at a camp when I said, that's my problem. I'm hearing a lot in church, and then I'm hearing a lot of stuff when I go home, and I'm hearing it on the radio, then I'm hearing it at school, and I'm hearing it at work. And I said, no more. I discarded it. I replaced it. Someone said, but Pastor, Dolly Parton sings this beautiful song about God rescuing her. You know, I was in a restroom one time and accidentally dropped a quarter in the toilet. But I didn't reach in there to pick it up. Every once in a while, you'll hear a good song on some Christian rock station and maybe something like that. I think here it's K-Love or something like that. And it's going to be rock, 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 country, country, rap, rap, good song. Rap, rap, country, 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 good song. If you just know somehow mental telepathy when to turn on that good song, you're better than me. What you ought to do is get you a bunch of CDs and download some good Christian music and say, I'll decide what I listen to, not the channel. And then number three, let me say this too. When you're around friends, control the music. I've been in cars and people have had music on that the Holy Spirit said you wouldn't listen to that. And I've kindly asked, do you mind if we turn that off? I ain't preaching to you. I ain't telling you what to do. Do you mind if we turn that off? I've been with salesmen when my car's been worked on and they'd bring me to the church. I'd get in the car and I said, oh, excuse me. Do you mind if we just turn that off? I could use some peace and quiet. I didn't give him a 10-point sermon on music. I could use some peace and quiet. Oh, sure. Someone ought to be able to speak up. Teenagers, learn to have some courage and speak up around other teens. They're playing something you shouldn't. You may not convert and change them, but you can say, you know, I'd rather not hear that. Well, where are we going to play? Okay, well, see you later. Have a good day. Have courage to be able to walk off. I'll end with this. Ask Melanie. Ask Cassidy. Ask some of these people who've done all this music study. The great revivals in American history, when you come up with a name like Billy Sunday, let me give you the rest of the story. Homer Rodehaver, the trombonist who led the singing and the 2,000 voice choir. When we think of D.L. Moody, great evangelist, let's add in Ira Sankey, the great singer and music man that went on all those travels. You can see many of those great revivals. It was great gospel music followed by great biblical preaching. I love you tonight. I know we're a little bit over time. I had to preach long because the baked potatoes weren't quite ready. And we have 14 topics to put on them, and we have to get that done. What you listen to is between you and the Lord, but it will come out. Parents, you have to win the battle. Well, you know, it's just such a battle with my kids. You better win that battle. You pour in 8 hours of rebellion a day, it's not going to get better. It's your house, you pay the bills, you get to dictate what's listened to. And let me challenge you. I know almost every show, almost every commercial, they've got the world's music. He's going to turn. Okay, your turn. Hey, we're not watching this if we're not turning down the music. It's good exercise. Don't have to join the health club. All right, you're up. Turn it off. Turn off that commercial. No one said it would be easy. We may end up being a gazing stock. Never. Hey, get this. So I'm done. Thursday night, I'm out soul winning. It's 100 and whatever degrees. Last minute, I decided where I was going to hit. I was going down Walnut Street and knock on a door, and a lady says, I speak mostly Spanish. Yeah, it's hot. Would you like a bottle of ice water? I said, thank you. You ever notice they offer you ice water when you don't need it? When you're dying, no one offers it to you. And I said, I'm just starting, but thank you very much. Went to the next house, led this man to the Lord named Edgar. Just started working at the winery. He said, they just gave me 3 cases of wine. Would you like a bottle of wine? I said, no, but Brother Steve probably would. And I didn't preach. I'm sure he thought I was very odd for not taking that bottle of wine. Our church is odd. We don't use fermented liquor for the Lord's Supper. Most churches in town would. Hey, it's okay. They stared at our Savior. They didn't understand Him. Your relatives may not understand you. It's okay. We have a different citizenship. We have a different Father. We have a different destination. And God created music to help us get through this life. What a powerful tool. I hope you'll use it for your advantage, not for your disadvantage.